When I was younger, people, my friends and family always thought it was really weird that I kept my room really clean and organized. I loved dusting and vacuuming, especially I loved cleaning the windows. Now, fast forward, you know, 40 some years, I'm 51 years old at the time of this recording, and I still love doing those things. And I think I told you a few episodes ago that I'm a number 11, a master number 11 on the numerology scale. And if that doesn't mean anything to you, that's okay. It just means that surprisingly, that the master number 11 is the most powerful of all of the numerology numbers. And what that definitely means for me, and I have known this for a long time, is that I'm highly intuitive and very sensitive to energy around me. And I think this just became a natural thing that I just recognized that, you know, things need to be clean or things need to be organized or, you know, cleaning the windows. You know, I have two dogs, they sit up on the back of the couch, they're constantly putting their nose prints on the windows and the slider door and all of the windows that are in the doors, and I'm always wanting to clean them. Well, let's talk about today the results of that, but also the reason behind it. When I feel more in the flow, then everything feels better. A few episodes ago, actually the last episode, I talked about the journey to wholeness, and that really is about being in the flow, the hose is unkinked, life force energy is moving through you, and you just feel amazing all the way around, and there isn't anything that you need. And I love that feeling. So I remember I spent a lot of time in my room. I really require a lot of solitude, and I do love solitude. And then there's times where I'm really social and I want to go play and I want to go do things and I want to be around people. But I do love being by myself, and lots of times I will clean, I will dust, I'll run around and do all the windows in the house. I collect Harry Potter toys, so I will set up new scenes. Like I have Legos and I have Funko Pops and different, like the little pewter statues and some of the little buildings and stuff like that. And so I'll like recreate new scenes and everything gets dusted and everything gets cleaned and it just feels amazing. So whatever it is for you, you know, if you stand back and you look at your space, is creating a space that is sacred, a sanctuary. Every room of your house should feel like a sanctuary. No matter, you know, my desk, I have a very small desk that I do my work at. Of course, I have a laptop and I have books everywhere and I have things that I'm working on. But my space is clean and clear. And the way I set things up is to optimize my space, whether it's, you know, the living room in which my desk is or downstairs in my library/office, you know, I have a bigger desk and more space. No matter where it is, I set that space up so it feels amazing and feels connected. So it doesn't matter if you're an entrepreneur or you're, you know, you're just a man or a woman who lives in a house, you know, but every space I go into or spend any time in, I like it to be spacious. That's why it's called space. There's lots of reasons. You know, I'm understanding a lot of different plays on words, if you will. And the space is where things are created. And if you think about words and music, the words that create a sentence or a story or a poem is created by the space between the words. Otherwise, it would just be noise. Same with music. The music is actually created within the space, like between the notes, and our life is created between the thoughts. And so when I think of my space, that it's space, it's where things are created. And if we go to the deepest level of where things are created, that is an emotional state. Well, I talk with people all the time in our groups or through email or our clients that we work with, and so many of them are talking about anxiety. Well, if there's no space, then there's no peace, there's no quiet. And so that goes with your physical space. I love to organize, I love to clean, I love to put things in their proper place, meaning like all the books go over here and all the silverware goes in that drawer and all the stuff goes over there and all this goes, you know, and just organizing it. And then what it gives me is a peace of mind. But it's creating this sacred space. So your piece of homework is I'm going to give you the five steps that I use to create space and to organize that space. And And then the top, I'm going to do five for five, the five steps to creating the space, but also the five spaces that I like to create that kind of organization. And I think they're extremely important where you can create that space. Man, it just feels so good to walk into a room. So the very first thing is to assess how the space feels. You know, when you walk into the space right now, how does it feel? And so you have to become more aware of how you feel about things. We can really understand those really dramatic responses in the body, those dramatic or strong emotions that but when we're kind of in between, we're just this neutral, numb, kind of nothing's really going on kind of emotional state. But I hope that after over 400 episodes, if you've listened to all of them, is that you're seeing the common thread through all of these episodes, is that you have an indirect way to manage your emotions. And that's why I call myself Lady of the Mind, because that's where it all starts, is our thoughts, is what we let in, but also connecting our mind to source energy to get that support and guidance. And when I have that, I have to be quiet in order to hear it, because it's the quietness, the space in between our thoughts, that guidance and support comes in. If my environment is chaotic, well, I'm not creating space for that guidance to show up. And we spend a lot of time in that kind of chaos. And I have so many people that are like, yeah, I feel anxious and overwhelmed and chaotic. And that's going to lead me into, you know, the next, it'll be Monday's episode, but the next episode is going to be talking about calming the chaos, that's in our mind. And I think it's so important to dig a little bit deeper into our own being to create that space. So the very first step is assessing your space. And matter of fact, I'll give you the spaces. No, I won't. I'll give them to you at the end. But so walk into a space, like get calm, feel your body, how it feels, bring your awareness to your emotional state. You can use a vibrational scale that I talk about often, like 0 to 10, and just give yourself kind of a rating. When I walk in this room, how do I feel? On a scale from 1 to 10, how do I feel in this room? Then the next step is what can I do? What are six things that I can do that will create an elevated space? So for example, so I'm sitting in the living room right now and there's dog toys all over. And of course they shred, you know, I don't know about your dogs, or you get them a stuffed animal and with a squeaker, and they, you know, Zoe completely shreds the toy, takes all the stuffing out, walks around with the squeaker. I get the squeaker, I throw it away, I give her a treat. And then it's just like this stuffed animal carcass that lays around in the living room. And Juju likes to play with that part. So it's like this weird relationship that the two of them have. I shred it and empty it, and then Juju, you can have it. And Zoe is my little 15 pound Chihuahua rat terrier mix. And then Juju is 55 pounds. And she's a bulldog mix. I'm sorry, she's a boxer mix, though she doesn't look anything like a boxer. And, but the Chihuahua, if you know anything about Chihuahuas, she's in charge. So we always say we got Zoe and then we got Zoe a dog. And, but it's this funny interaction between the two of them. So anyway, so they have these two little bins with all their toys in it. And so I'm looking at the carpet, and of course there's like, you know, different little fuzzies and body parts of these stuffed animals all over the floor and chew toys and whatever. Well, then there's blankets on the couch, and those are, you know, a mess. There's the sweatshirt on the back of the couch that I had on this morning that's kind of half inside out. You know, there's a blanket on the floor. So anyway, so I walk in here and I go, okay, I take a deep breath before I open my eyes in the living room, and I go, how do I feel? How do I feel when I walk in this room? Right now I'm neutral. Okay. And I walk in this room, and how do I feel? I would say I'm probably a 6. Okay. So I walk in, I look around. And then the next question is, what are 6 things that I can do? Not because I'm a 6 on the scale, but just what are a few things, whatever. What are a few things that I could do to clean this room up, to make my number go from a 6 to a 7? Well, I look around, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go hang that sweatshirt up in the bedroom behind the door, which is where I usually put it. I'm going to fold up these blankets. I've got journals and mala beads all over the couch. So I'm going to go and take care of that. I've got some empty boxes here that need to go out to the recycling. And my desk is kind of a mess because I'm in the middle of some projects, and there's a blanket on the floor, right? So I'm going to do those things, and then I'm going to stand back and I'm going to assess again. How do I feel now? And then if there's any other adjustments I need to make. And then I'm going to look at the floor and be like, oh yeah, I'm going to vacuum. So I would run around and vacuum. Then I would be like, ooh, those windows have some nose smudges all over them. I'm going to do that. So I'm going to go clean the windows. And then, oh, look at the, you know, the entertainment center and the TV is all dusty. So I'm going to go and dust it. And then is there anything else? Now, from this point, sometimes I get a little obnoxious, depends on the weather, depends on how many things I've got to do, if my project, you know, how my project list is going. And if I'm kind of at the end of my day, if you will, of all the things that I'm doing, I might rearrange the house, like this room. I might move the couch. I might move some picture frames. I might take some picture frames down. I might set something else up. I might, you know what I mean? Rearrange or move some stuff around, take some stuff off the wall, put some different things on the wall, you know, all of the things in each room of your house is energy. Everything. Everything has energy. Well, dust, think about dust. You know, it's a slow vibrational energy. It's not high vibration. It's not alive. It's, you know, small, microscopic dead things. You know, it's dead skin or, you know, animal hair and floating dirt and whatever. And it's like all of that is low vibration. Well, if I walk into that and my body is around that low vibrational frequency, how is my body going to feel? Oh, it's going to feel a lower vibration because everything is energy. And so my energy is moving and adapting to the energy in the room. So that's no different if you are highly sensitive and you walk into, let's say, a household where there was a couple that half an hour before were at their throats and there's some screaming match and they're really, you know, short with each other and they haven't really made up and you've walked in to visit with them or to have dinner with them or whatever, and you could feel the tension. Well, that's the energy frequency that they just gave off, you know, in the last 30 minutes. And it creates this energy that you walk in and you can resonate with it. So if you're not aware of your energy state, then you can kind of be vulnerable to other energy frequencies in that space. So I love spring cleaning for that reason alone, is that it creates an amazing feeling in the room. So the steps, so assess how the space feels from 1 to 10. What are a few things that I can do to raise that number? And then assess it again. So after you assess it again, then of course you would go through those same steps again. But from there, now it's create what you would do in that space. You know, it'd be a little hard to explain, but just how the arrangement of our living room was, we had our back to the main walkway into the kitchen. And so this is a little bit of like feng shui, kind of like what can I do that, that makes the room, workable, if you will. Like, what's the use of this room? Now, I live in a very small house. There's 4 of us who live here and 2 dogs. We're a little bit cramped. The rooms are small. It's kind of a beginner house that I stayed in for 22 years. And we are looking for a bigger house. But as you know, the house prices is just like holy moly right now. But we're still, you know, it's like it would be nice while the kids are still relatively young or still living with us that, you know, we could offer that to them. But in the meantime, is what is the use of this room? And then taking that use, writing those things down. It's like, okay, this is how we use this room. It's for entertainment. You know, it's for a little bit of work. We have desks in here. You know, Amy and I are, you know, working, of course, the business, and there's always stuff to do, always, you know, adulting stuff to do. But how is this room used? How is it utilized? What are the purposes of this room? And then how can I make that the most efficient? Now, if you're not organizing, if you don't like to organize, that's totally fine. There's easy ways to do that, but it's to make things efficient. So no matter what the room is used for, is there's ways to kind of create flow. And when the room has flow, then you have flow. So for example, you know, this living room, you know, there's a couch and a love seat, and then there's an entertainment center, and there's music and speakers, and then there's, you know, a shelving unit that has our printer on top. Well, that's because we have two small desks in here, and we each have a computer. And so we're printing things. We used to have our printer downstairs. Well, that doesn't create a lot of flow if I'm going to print and then I have to run downstairs to go get it. So one of the things that we did is we created basically an office/living room, and we rearranged things to open the living room up a little bit. And we were facing the doorways, which is a feng shui move. is you don't have your back to a doorway where when people are coming in, is that you face out into the space instead of facing where your energy gets like kind of goes to a dead end. When you're like facing your desk in a corner, it's like a dead end. So I face out. I also like to face the windows because I love outside. Most of the time, if I can do it, is I love to be outside. I like to work outside. I love projects. I love having the dogs outside, etc. Knowing all of these things, I then create a space that allows me to sort of be outside. So we have big giant windows. I have a glass door at the front of the house. And so all those are open right now. It's beautiful and sunny. It's freezing cold. It's only like 32 degrees, but it's beautiful and sunny. And so my desk and my space and my vision faces outside. And it faces the outside, you know, the rest of the room. It has flow. Everything that we set up in this room has a purpose and a reason and creates flow. So really, if I'm going to raise my numbers, it really is about organizing and making things kind of look clean and neat, you know, the sweatshirt, the blankets, vacuuming the floor, dusting, all of those things that then create this amazing space. So it's kind of a feng shui, and then it's kind of organizing. And the last step is really enjoy the space. Like really feel present in the space, use it how it's intended to use it so you can feel in alignment with what you've created. And then just do the little tiny fixes, you know, the little tiny adjustments to keep it feeling amazing. Now, here's some of my favorite places to clean, to organize, to dust, and to kind of get in the flow. Now, the first one is a combination of two spaces, really, but it's the bedroom slash closet. One of my favorite things to do is to create space in the closet. We have, like I said, a small space, and there's, you know, the normal closet size, whatever, and then there's all the storage stuff up above. All of those things come out, they get dusted, they get cleaned, they get thrown away, donated, whatever. You just go through those things. And the same with the clothes. One of my favorite things for that Amy says when she's talking about clothes is, you know, maybe this thing doesn't fit you anymore right now. And then you ask yourself, if I do get back in that size, will I wear this particular item? You know, is it out of style? Am I kind of past it? Would I wear that thing again? And if the answer is no, send it on its way. One of my favorite things to do and kind of my process is I will go through my clothes and I'll put them in bins downstairs. And then if I'm like, oh, I really wish I had that shirt, it's just downstairs. Then it stays downstairs for however long. And then when I'm ready to go down through the basement and I go through those items, here's that shirt. And then I can decide, oh yeah, I didn't even miss it. And then I can get rid of it. And I allow myself to create space. So the closet is one. And then the rest of the bedroom, making the bed, having limited things in that space. So it creates again, because it's a bedroom, is to create space of the bedroom as being a relaxing space, a relaxing sanctuary, if you will. So there's very limited things on the walls. There's not lots of stuff hanging or furniture or whatever, that it's just this really beautiful open space. And that space also is the walls. You know, we tend to put a lot of picture frames or paintings or whatever on the bedroom walls that creates chaos. Those picture frames, think of those as being thoughts. And now take, you know, 90% of them off the wall and look at this open space. What does that do to the body? It immediately calms it down. And it feels amazing to be, I keep saying space, but it feels amazing to be in that space. And when you do that, and you go through these five steps, is you are creating the space in which you want to feel. Now, if you have children, and they have a playroom, well, then it's easy to say, well, I want this room to be, you know, high energy, or I want it to be creative, or I want there to be, you know, their toys out or whatever. You can still create organization within that space, because kids, even though they have a lot of energy and they seem to be kind of chaotic, they also need the space in between. When we had a daycare, well, we didn't, not me and Amy, but when I worked at a daycare, I was there for about 10 years, and I worked with my friend in her in-home daycare, and we had a Head Start program, which is like a preschool kind of program, and it was kind of a mess. And so through the government or through the state or however, we would get these grants and this funding, and here's a couple catalogs, you can order some stuff. And we organized everything, and we sectioned off using those shelves, like those cubbies, and we sectioned off areas of the daycare because she just had a giant open space and couches all over, and the kids were kind of bored, like they didn't know what to do. And when kids don't know what to do, they'll find stuff to do. They won't tell you that they're bored. Well, not necessarily, but they just kind of start to behave based on that environment. So we sectioned it off, and we would put a couple cubbies, you know, kind of perpendicular with a little opening. And this would be for all the building toys. So then all of the cubbies would face inside this little square and would have all of building toys. So Legos and building blocks and the letter building blocks, you know, all of those would be on the inside. So the kids would all be using building blocks within the space. And then the other one is all like, you know, dress up or dolls or whatever. And then we would have a theme. So it was dragons or dinosaurs or something like that. This little space all has, you know, dinosaurs. And then over there, there's three tables. And those tables are for Play-Doh and paint and tabletop toys. And then we had a little library. And it was like a little fort. And it had a quiet area underneath that we kind of sectioned off. You know, it was all plastic and open. So we put dark curtains in there and like soft material at the bottom, and up above, you climb these little tiny stairs, and up above was a library. So that was a space for them to go and read. You couldn't even imagine the difference in how the kids behaved once we got this whole project complete. They just found their way, and it created naturally. We didn't have to tell them anything. We didn't have to do anything different. They came in Monday morning. We did this over the weekend. They came in Monday morning, and they just responded differently from then on. They would play the building space. They just stayed in there and they played in there. And, you know, we had things labeled, so they would clean up the toys and put things back. And it just became this really natural, beautiful thing. And the chaos had this like harmony to it. And our houses, though we have other people living with us, we have animals, we have kids, we have our parents, we have whoever other people living with us, and, you know, they leave their clothes on the floor, there's dishes in the sink, or, you know, there's dog toys everywhere, whatever. And it's like all of those things are part of living, but at the same time, it's part of our space. And when our space is chaotic, we're chaotic. So here's my top. Oh, no, here's so it's closet in the bedroom. Okay, the next one is a kitchen, is putting dishes away and clearing the table, and, you know, is creating that organization. You know, a lot of people, we get a lot of junk mail, and creating the organization of how do I use this space? Okay, well, mail comes in here and it goes on the table because I'm not going to do it right this minute. Well, we have mail bins that hang on the wall. So this is a bin for the boys when they get stuff from school or the report cards or whatever. You know, this is my bin. So when my mail goes in that bin and Amy's mail goes in that bin, and then we can kind of store some stuff in there, but it gets it off the table. We have routines with the kids, help us with chores, and they, you know, Brandon is dynamite at putting the dishes away. So he'll put the dishes away. He dries everything. Everything's organized and in the cupboards. Dishes get done several times a day. You know, we don't have a dishwasher. And so, well, it's me and me, of course, and Amy. And so we do the dishes. We put food away. The kids help us with that. We wipe the table. We clean the table. We eat together. And we use that space how we want to use it. And it has flow. You know, we had the toaster over there on that counter. Well, it didn't work very well. We wanted it over here that's closer to the refrigerator. We have the coffee maker over there by the sink so we can fill it with water, right? We have all these things, and we created flow. And it took us a little bit to go, yeah, that's not working. And then we would change it. Well, that's what we do. So that's the next one, is kitchen. The next one is your car. We don't think about our car. I remember I was, I helped with carpool at the school that I worked at. And so we didn't have a busing system. And so we were called the carpool queens. And people would come in, whether in the morning or in the afternoon, they would all pull in this line and we would open the door and greet the kids and get to know the parents, whatever. And I'm not kidding. There were times, and I hope this is not you, but there were times that I was opening a door, a van, a you know, an SUV or something, and garbage was like knee deep in these cars. And I'm opening the door and garbage is falling out onto the sidewalk. Well, the garbage is way over there. I just put it back in the car. And then I think and I assess and I go back in time and I'm like, those two kids that came out of that car were like the most chaotic kids I had ever been around. Their environment. And if that car looks like that, I can imagine what their house looks like. I hope this is not you. Our space should be space. It should create space. And if we're living in a state of chaos in our mind and we're living in a state of chaos in our environments, then we're creating anxiety. We're creating inner turmoil. We're creating chaos. We're creating overwhelm. And if we're in that space, how do we ever get away from that? And so your car, take it, go get it washed. Dust the dashboards, vacuum the carpet, make it smell good, make it feel good. It's okay that your kids eat in the car, and it's okay they make a mess. Put a garbage in the car. Teach them to clean up their space. Teach them to create a space of peace and love and harmony and creating calm in their lives. And then the next is your yard. You know, Amy loves to rake. I hate raking. I like raking. I don't like the leaf cleanup. And I live on a street that is full of maple trees. And I have like 9 of them in my backyard. And so we have a ton of leaves through the fall. But the boys learn to rake. They come out. It's like family time on a Saturday morning. We're going to go rake. And so we go and we rake and we plant. We have gardens and we have irises out front. We plant tulips. We have a vegetable garden and we have a flower garden and we have things that hang from the trees that are beautiful. We trim the trees. We pick up the sticks. We rake the gravel in our driveway. I mean, we do all of these things that create space. So they learn to do that. They learn to like the calm. And so turning, you know, the grass into grass again, getting the leaves out of there, cleaning out the flower beds, cleaning out the gutters, washing the windows, spraying down the house. I mean, your house is out in the weather and it's, you know, it's got dirt on it. Maybe there's rust from your water line, you know, whatever. It's a clean all of that space. When you pull in the driveway, wouldn't it be nice to have your space be amazing and beautiful? That creates different energy within us. Then that energy is what goes out instead of chaos and anxiety and overwhelm. We create calm within our bodies and beauty within our soul. Now I can create that out in my world, out in my environment. And the last one is deep cleaning. So this would be the windows, the gutters, stuff like that. But cleaning the cobwebs out of the corners, really deep vacuuming other under shelves and counters and the furniture and getting those dust bunnies and dog hair and cat hair and all of that. Cleaning the windows, deep cleaning the bathroom, getting behind the toilet, really cleaning, you know, the up above in the ceiling and the floors and doing, you know, all of this, I'm telling you. Oh, and washing all the curtains. All of this really creates this flow of energy. Before you clean a room, before you organize a room, assess how it feels before. Do those things and then assess how it feels after. I can guarantee you that spring cleanup will be one of your favorite things to do. Does it take a lot of energy? Yes, but it is so worth it. If I assess my space right now and I'm like, man, it's a 1, 2, or 3, this room or that room, or it's dirty or it stinks, or there's chaos everywhere, there's crap everywhere. And I sit back and I'm like, well, no wonder I feel overwhelmed. No wonder I feel anxious. You want to engage with your environment? This is a way to do it. Spring cleanup and just fix your life and your environment. It's amazing feeling. And I hope you do it. And what Amy and I do is we take a month and every weekend is a different section of the house. And so weekend one is the bathroom and the laundry room. And weekend two is the living room. And weekend three is the kitchen. And then weekend four is like all the bedrooms. And it's amazing, and I hope you do it. So go get cleaned up, go spring clean, and get in the flow again. Spring cleanup is one of my favorite things to do to really get in the flow of life and to bring about some new awarenesses. So today, I'm going to give you my top 5 tips on how to get in the flow through spring cleanup. Let's go get that nugget. Wow, that may have felt like a lot of information in today's episode, but if you're looking for support and a deeper knowledge of what we talked about today, then let's connect. You can learn more about how I work and how you can work with me. Send me an email to themeditationroomtc@gmail.com, subject line, let's talk. And in the meantime, you can join my online Facebook community, Lady Rising, and mention that you came in through the podcast. I look forward to supporting you and connecting with you there. Thank you for listening. If you liked that episode, please subscribe, like, or write a review. Let me know how that landed with you. If you'd like to support this podcast, please check out in the show notes where you can buy me a chai tea, or you can join my newest podcast membership for exclusive episodes, guided meditations, and transformative exercises that you won't find anywhere else. Bring your journal, open your heart, and let's get ready for some serious transformation.